love you.
Okay. Now we're situated here. Hope everybody's doing good. I know the clock changed. I know it definitely beat me up today. But, you know, hope everybody's adjusting. Hope, you know, it's a nice day out. You know, definitely, I think spring is around the corner. So, you know, that's a good thing. I get pumped up when it's hot. So that's a good thing. So today we have, I have a special guest in here, and I'll let her introduce herself. Go ahead, Anita. Go ahead. Who are you? Who is Anita Washington?
Anita Washington is the host of That Anita Live, a media platform where I interview women that have been through devastating circumstances to rise and live relentless lives. I also highlight the experts in the mental and emotional health field that can help women that have been through these devastating circumstances.
All right. Now, you mentioned women a few times. It's Women's History Month this month.
Yes.
You know, after this show, I'm going to be on your show. And, you know, you're making me nervous because I look at your show and I see, like, all these women.
It's hard to get men to express their feelings or their perspective on emotions. So far, I've had one that is actually posted, and that was Tremaine speaking about his experience with sexual abuse.
Oh, wow.
And then the second gentleman that I've had on the show that will post in a couple of weeks, and his name is Darwin Dave, and he runs a successful podcast called Dealing With My Grief. So you're number three.
Oh, wow. Well, it should be an interesting show. I definitely, I'll post it for others to see as well, too. Can you tell me, so you mentioned, you know, guys don't really like to talk about their emotions. And that's kind of how, you know, we started talking about it. Well, one, is it even more now with digital media, with social media? Is it even worse now than before, or has this been the way?
No, I think, one, it's natural for men. Two, it's changed a little bit with social media because they still feel distant. And where when you use Twitter or Facebook, it isn't you actually voicing it for others to see and hear, but you're typing it in. And then when you hit post, there's really psychologically a disconnect of you sending it out into the world. And people, I mean, it might be you that posted it. It might be your intern. It could be a fake account. We don't know. So,
So like, as far as emotions, you think it's more, like social media makes it more, people get more in tune with their emotions with social media?
Get or, in tune with their emotions?
Yeah, people share.
Freer. Yeah, they feel a lot freer to share on social media. Oh, yes.
I don't know. Like, it's
there's a distance from accountability and responsibility when it's on social media, because there is that disconnect and that unknown as to whether or not it's really you, unless it's, you know, video that is shared.
Yeah. But what's, you know, what's the mentality of, you know, I think, you know, you're posting all these things. You don't know who's going to be looking at it. And, you know, like, it's like I always, you know, like you post,
don't know,
like,
who you're going to
help. I'm feeling sad today, and then you go out, and then everybody's like, "Oh, don't you feel, you know, like get better?" You know, but then you could be, you know, like at that point, you know, like you posted it in the morning, in the afternoon, you're like super happy, but now somebody thinks you're sad, so now they're like trying to console you. You know, like doesn't it get like a little? And maybe this is probably just me looking into the whole social media thing. So can you tell me how you got into producing the show?
Well, I got into producing the television show because I spent 10 years as a counselor. I counseled juveniles and adults with life skills, whether it was training and they wanted to improve their lives, whether they were going through difficult circumstances. I burnt out of that career and started a career in contracts. So you can kind of say that I'm returning to a first love. I know I didn't want to heavily return back into the one-on-ones in an office-type setting, but I did want to launch back into giving back to the community, and this was a way for me to do that. Besides, now it's not just me telling people things, and I can sit back, ask a question, and have other experts and say, see, I told y'all I was right.
Okay. So what's been one of the most interesting shows that you had that really made you think, like, wow, like, I'm really doing something good for the community?
I think it was very early on. I interviewed I interviewed the ex-wife of the DC sniper. Wow. And we didn't look at it from the standpoint of his behavior, but how she and the children worked through their emotions of having to deal with everything that he did, having to take all of that backlash, down to how the children responded and how they've grown, you know, since the execution.
Oh, wow. That's how long, I guess, how long were they separated before the whole sniper thing happened? And was it related? Was it because of that?
Well,
I guess I have to see the show to find
I'm not sure of exactly the time period that they were separated. I know it was at least 2 years. Yeah, probably longer, but I know it was at least two years because he kidnapped their children and she looked for them for 18 months before she found them. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes. All the videos, the past episodes are posted to my YouTube channel. You can find that at thatanitalive.com. /YouTube. Yep. It'll take
and
you directly
on,
to my channel.
Other social media sites as well, too?
Yes, I'm on Twitter. Mm-hmm. All my handles across all the social media sites are @AnitaLive. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram are the primary ones. Twitter is home. I stop by Facebook every once in a while. So if you're looking for me.
Twitter.
Yeah.
How's, you know, now, you know, we keep talking about social media, and it's, I probably have this thing about social media, which is probably, like, usually, you know, it, during the, like, I'm, most of my work, you know, when I'm, you know, I do media, so, like, a lot of it is, like, now on social media, so, like, I'm constantly, you know, on there, but around, you know, like, in the wintertime, I kind of just tune out a little bit because it gets too much, but then, you know, I start to think, like, you know, like, a lot of people are just, you know, there's some people, they just wake up and boom, first thing, you know, social media, they check it out. Like, it, like I wonder how it plays on people's psyche, you know, like it's kind of like, you know, what you see kind of determines basically what your day is going
to
be like.
Well, there is an element to where you can control what you see in your feed because you control who you follow and who follows you, or you control, you know, who is your friend and who's not your friend if it's Facebook. So if there's somebody that continuously posts negative content and that's not something you want to be exposed to, then you can disconnect from that. You can unfriend them, unfollow, however, on whichever platform.
So, but then, I mean, it's kind of, but then once you start doing that, then you just see only good things, like, you know, just good things. And you think that's just the world, you know, everything is all good.
I wouldn't say that.
Until you run into somebody and get knocked
I wouldn't say that because you still have... When you go to the gas station, there's audio or even video that's playing. That's either the local news or what's playing on their radio, on their station. You go into a restaurant. There's everywhere we go, we are bombarded with images and news. So it's not just if you keep your social media feed pretty clean, you will still get it from other other places.
But I think now, and this is kind of like this was a previous show, like. We're talking about where people get their news.
Yes.
And for most people, especially now with the younger people, I always feel old when I say that. But you know, they social media is where they get their news from.
Yes.
You know, that's you know you they have and you know all the news outlets of course have social media you know tied into it, including you know like most shows basically. But you know that's kind of you know how media circulates now and. There's always, you know, especially with the personalization, you know, once you start personalizing, you know, what you want to see, then you only see the news that makes, you know, that satisfies you. And to me, it's kind of like.
It's the same thing when you're flipping back and forth on television. You're only watching the television shows that you would like to see.
Yeah, that is.
It's the same thing when you're playing piano with the radio dial. You're going from station to station to station. You're only listening to what it is you would like to hear.
Yeah, but I think with, and I am not bashing social media at all, Mr. Mark Zuckerberg. No. But I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot more of it now where. And I mentioned Mark Zuckerberg jokingly, but I think that it has become a problem where like they're actually looking to quote unquote program Facebook because it's turned into, you know, when Facebook came out, it was more, you know, like a place to socialize with friends and family, but it's, you know, grown into something else. So now they're looking at, okay, how can we bring that back? So it's, you know, it's not just, you know, something that I'm just saying. It's a problem, you know, like it's that.
Well, everything, every tool that has ever been created or that will ever be created will be used by somebody for a negative purpose. That's not something that we can block or control. Yeah. We have to hope be more accountable of each other and to each other.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, let's move on from that.
As a human race, that is our responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's move on from that because I feel like that could be the whole show today. It's Women's Month, as I mentioned earlier. Can you talk a little bit about, of course, you're a woman. Can you talk about, you know, what Women's Month means to you?
Well, Women's History Month means to me is the days that we get to highlight the contributions that women have made, not only to our society, but to us individually. Because every poster you see when they try to picture prominent women in our society, you see Coretta Scott King and you see Harriet Tubman and you see Michelle Obama. You know, you'll see, you may see prominent women that have made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But on the ground floor are a lot of, not just mothers and grandmothers and aunts, but also teachers. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice thing during the month of March for an activity such as writing a gratitude letter for someone from your past that has done something wonderful in your life or that has changed the trajectory of your life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be big. Mm-hmm. It could be a school teacher that said, no, I don't think you should major in that subject. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be one of the best pieces of advice you've ever received. Mm-hmm. Speaking back, you know, going back to the whole social media piece and being accountable mm-hmm. in this society that we live in that is made up of us. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things we can do to keep our humanity.
Mm-hmm. To put a light, to put some shine on things that's often not looked upon.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think, now I'm back on the media thing. Mm-hmm. Do you think, you know, in the past, you know, before social media, like media was really controlled by, you know, a few.
Yes,
you know,
the gatekeepers. Got it.
Yes. Do you think... like now it's kind of, you know, the agenda, like it's not, we're no longer fed, you know, through them, but it's, you know, it's more open. Like media is more open for kind of people to share ideas.
It is.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
The gatekeepers are gone. I think, again, we have to be accountable for each other. Uh-huh. And a lot of that fake news that was put out, mm-hmm. On an individual level, we need to evaluate what we read and how believable it is. Mm-hmm. Sensationalized versus truth. Mm-hmm. We also need to be accountable of the people that we are sitting next to. Mm-hmm. Because everybody that posts negativity or fake news at some point in their life is sitting next to somebody else, whether it's a brother, a sister, a cousin, whether it's somebody that is handling that social media account for them, whether it's somebody that's creating that post for them. No, that isn't good. That isn't something that you need to put out there. It's fake news.
No, but then, you know, going to the fake news thing, it's kind of like when you think a certain way and then you see that news, you're like, oh my goodness, I knew this a long time ago. And then you just buy into it immediately because that's something you thought of already. You
know, if it's like, true or not true.
If it's you think it's true, for example, like let's say I think pigs can fly. Like this is I give okay. the craziest example.
Okay.
But let's say you know like I think pigs can fly, and you know like I'm like browsing through my social media, mm-hmm. and then I see an article. Oh, this pig flew in Alaska, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I knew it. Boom, repost. Next thing you know, it's going.
Okay,
by.
But right there, you need to evaluate it a little deeper. One,
I think pigs can fly.
Why? Why do you think that? Have you ever seen a pig fly?
No,
is
but
there video, based is there video on, of the pig flying?
But based on, you know, based on
how
my
realistic is the video of the pig flying?
But that's, I mean, that's how.
Are you seeing it? This, but
here,
I'm
let me tell you this.
I'm questions
though.
At you because I need, not just you, people to think. I need people to think and begin
to. But people,
to
well, the thing is, I don't think people think. And this is, mm-hmm.
He's
this is,
right.
You know, like I can talk all of, you know, what made me come to that conclusion. But like, it's kind of, I think people are just busy all the time. And it's kind of like, you know, you have a split second to make decisions. And, you know, not all decisions are going to be perfect. And that's just how, you know, that's how like all these things are happening, because, you know, it's go, 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 go. And, you know, like we're, you know, geared towards things that we, you know, we like, and we just add to it as we go. And, you know, that's how things boil on.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's the whole thing, you know. Like, and we keep coming back to it. It's always interesting. But mm-hmm. you know, and you know, you mentioned it could be, you know, media could be used for a good thing or a bad thing.
Yes.
Do you think there's a lot more good being put out than bad, like as far as, you know, social media and media?
I think there is a lot more good that's being put out. However, it doesn't get as much depth and breadth. It doesn't get as much reposting. It doesn't get as much eyes on it. There are sites that are dedicated to good news. Mm-hmm. There, every once in a while, amongst all of the negativity, you will see a feel-good story. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the number of comments or the number of views, it won't compare at all to the negativity. I'm not sure what it is in our society that's drawing people mm-hmm. to the negativity, because actually I had this conversation with someone yesterday. We were comparing it to the generations, and where 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the kids were watching cartoons that always had a happy ending. Mm-hmm. The television shows on TV always had a good moral to the story. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was All in the Family or Good Times or mm-hmm. Eight is Enough. It always had some sort of morale story to it, putting something good out into the world. However, millennials today, that's not what captures their attention. They, not that they're, the way it was explained to me, not that they're drawn to the negativity of it, but they're tired of seeing the good story over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a good thing, but.
Does that mean kids are growing up quicker? Because, you know, like when you're young, you get exposed to only good things. And then, you know, once you grow up, you realize, okay, the world is not like that.
Well, I think it was a balance, because even though what you got from cartoons or what you got from entertainment always had a happy ending, mm-hmm. you still may have lived in a house that had domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Or you may have had, you know, neighbors that had some habits that weren't happy habits. Mm-hmm. So the child, well-rounded, going to school, you know, going to some sort of service on Sunday or Saturday, Friday night, mm-hmm. is still surrounded by the world. But it tickled the good and raised the child with the morality. Mm-hmm. We're, as a country, mm-hmm. as a world, we're losing our sense of morality.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting. I guess it goes back to where kids get their, you know, source from. Because back, you know, back in the day, it's kind of like, you know, your parents were school friends, mm-hmm. and who else? The neighborhood,
you right?
Were. And that's kind of like how you learn and grew up. But now, you know, you can get on social media and, you know, find information everywhere, and that kind of, you know, for kids, you know, that conditions the way, you know, they reason and grow up.
Well, and there are also some other stark differences that kids today have that kids 30, 40 years ago didn't have. They didn't spend Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday with mom, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday with dad, mm-hmm. and they're in separate cities or even separate parts of town. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that kids today are put through that makes them grow up faster. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the adults in their lives.
The social, the structure, like the family structure?
The loss of family structure. Because in the United States, it was a great migration, of course, in the 40s, mm-hmm. where there were a lot of descendants of slaves that left the South mm-hmm. in pursuit of a better life in the North. Mm-hmm. Okay, but within the last, I'd say, 25 years, that's continued, where 30, 40 years ago, a child may have grown up in a neighborhood where grandmother lived down the street, cousins lived across town. At any given time, you'd have 5 to 7 members of an extended family at one school. Mm-hmm. However, now, because uncle went to California for a job, mom went to New York for a job, brothers and sisters, you know, they aren't continuing to live in the same communities or in the same neighborhoods, mm-hmm. so their kids aren't getting that benefit.
So there's, I kind of see the extended family in a way was more close-knit back in the day, mm-hmm. whereas now it's kind of like even it's the
absent.
Immediate family, yeah. Which is true.
It's absent. It doesn't even exist anymore. Oh, wow. For a lot of kids, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. But does, doesn't, like, we live in a digital technology now where, you know, like even, you know, if you have someone in California, mm-hmm. you can still, you know, keep up with them and...
Right, but, and here's an example, okay, because I was in the elevator the other day, and I heard two ladies talking. One was worried about her middle schooler. Her middle schooler was being bullied. Mm-hmm. I said, what she needs is her cousins to attend the same school that she attends,
yeah.
and that will curtail a lot of the teasing that she is receiving. Mm-hmm. Because when people know that you are not by yourself or alone, or that they'll have to deal with more than one individual at a time, mm-hmm. it slows down a lot of the bigotry and the arrogance.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this area, the DC metropolitan area, mm-hmm. for example. I know, you know, recently, like the it's grown a lot, especially even here in Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
How does that change kind of play into you know, growing up around here? I know. Did you grow up around here?
I didn't. No.
Oh, no. Oh, where are you from?
I grew up in South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What brought you here?
Work.
Speaking of moving.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, okay. So, like, what's you know, for someone who grew up you know, around here, mm-hmm. What is like, you know, just the change in atmosphere now, you know, do you know, for someone?
Well. What I hear mm-hmm. from a lot of the native Washingtonians that I know mm-hmm. is that D.C., during their youth, was the chocolate city.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt very family-oriented because you had go-go.
Mm-hmm.
You had politicians repetitive in their office. Marion Barry.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about Marion Barry and how he was the start of their summer, their being able to get employment during the summer.
Yep, yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah, the program's still on.
So,
yeah.
Right. So while outside of D.C., people only know him from what was sensationalized in the national media,
yep.
locally, everybody loves him because he was for the people, mm-hmm. lived amongst the people until he died,
mm-hmm.
and influenced things in the city in such a way where... If you were a beginner, mm-hmm. had no experience at what your dream was, he could help you connect yourself to people that would get you that experience. You know, you might start out at $4.25 an hour.
But, wow, we're talking way back.
But it helped you to get on the ladder and up maybe the first rung or two so that mm-hmm. you could see a better future for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hear now from the native Washingtonians is that D.C. has lost all of that. It's mm-hmm. now more of survival of the fittest and dog eat dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they miss old D.C.
Huh, yeah. You know, it's interesting because there's a lot more people, like, come into the area. Like, this area is, like,
Very transient.
I feel like, you know, like in a couple of years, it's going to be like, I shouldn't say the next New York. I know.
I hope not. I hope not. There are too many people in New York packed into a tiny space.
Yeah. But I mean, it's very attractive. Like, it's bringing in, mm-hmm. you know, it's bringing in business. It's bringing in, like, all these people that just wants to live in the D.C. area.
Hopefully. Hopefully it's bringing in that business. I think it's Amazon that's looking for a second
Amazon.
Headquarters.
Yep, yeah.
Hopefully. And they're looking at two spots in the D.C. area, one east of Anacostia and one out, I think, maybe past Dulles.
Hopefully. Yeah, there's I know D.C., Montgomery County, and Fairfax. Like, there are three of the 20 that Amazon's looking at. So that's definitely huge. I think over 5,000. I think over 5,000 jobs. I think I heard that comes with the Amazon you know, if Amazon moves here. So, you know, people are coming. And, you know, it's a pretty good area, I guess. But then, you know, it causes the fact that, like, you know, now, you know, like, if you also have to think of the downside where people that have been living here for ages, all of a sudden, you know, you have to compete with, like, all these people that are coming in here. And you know, it could be hard. And, you know, you mentioned Barry. I think just last week there was a statue that was erected for him, and that's pretty cool.
DC still loves Marion Barry? Mayor for life.
Mayor for life. Yeah. All right. So, wow. Time's fine. Okay. Let's get in another song. What's your music taste?
Wow. It's wide. Jazz, R&B, gospel. Mm-hmm. It could be anything.
Yeah. What'd you listen to today before you came in?
Music? I didn't listen.
No music?
Nah.
No music Sundays? Oh, no, you were focused, huh?
I'm trying to, right now I'm trying to stick to an audiobook. It's rather difficult, though.
Yeah, audiobook. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
But, let's see, if you would have snatched the last CD that I had, it was probably Tupac.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had a guest here, two, three shows ago, mm-hmm. who had no, well, actually they knew Tupac, but they never heard Tupac's
really?
Song.
Really?
Yeah, I was, I know I gave him a hard time on it, but he's a young guy.
Whoa.
But I was kind of taken away. I'm like, wow, you know, Tupac is of a gen. I guess I guess we're the same age.
Yeah, I have coworkers that are debating Dre and the beats that he put together for Tupac versus uh-huh. Swiss Beats that's out there now. So there's no comparison. Love Alicia and Swiss.
Wait, Dre and Swiss Beat?
Yeah.
Nah, maybe Swiss Beat, and I think this actually happened, Swiss Beats and Timberland.
Yeah.
I think they did a little competition.
They did.
But yeah, I don't know, like as far as Dre's kind of like in the category. I want to say like, you know, Puff Daddy, but he wasn't really like producing, like he wasn't, and you know, back in the day it was more like, you know, Bad Boy and Def Row. Dre was there's certain songs of Dre that like I never knew like he produced until like, you know, I read about it. He just doesn't do hip hop. As you can tell, I'm a big Dre fan.
Everybody needs to start popping up in the credits that come with the CDs and the MP, the text that comes with the MP3.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well now, yeah, you don't really look at that. What do you think of music now? Like all the new music?
No comment. I don't.
Yeah. All right. Let's play a little. Are you a fan of Etta James?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Let's play a little bit of Etta since, you know, I'm trying to keep with the women's history of Etta. So, you know, I'm a big. I like her songs. But let's play a little bit of that, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. You listen to The Random Hour on Radio Fairfax.
Can call my own. I
We're back. You're listening to the Random Hour on Radio Fairfax. I'm in here with producer Anita Washington, and we've just been chatting away here, mostly social media.
His interest.
after the show, you know, of course, I get on your show. Can you talk about? I mentioned to you, I'm like personally like nervous. You kind of put me on the spot. You talk about men don't like to talk about their emotions.
They don't. That's a known fact. It's been proven in research multiple times. Generally speaking, now talking about the masses of men, not individual men, but masses. When we look at you all across the world, men do not like to discuss their emotions.
Okay. Is there let's say I'm a man watching your show. Mm-hmm. How can that improve that? Do I develop emotional skills? I'm talking like if, I have no
emotion. If you are a man that goes to my website or YouTube channel, or if you tune in to Channel 10 here in the Northern Virginia area, what you will see is you will get to know women better. Mm-hmm. Because what the stories that they tell are the stories that they've healed from. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, let's say you're dating. The woman that you meet, the representative, is the person that is healed. But the longer you date that person or the longer you know that person, every once in a while, that experience is going to bubble to the top. Mm-hmm. If you're watching my show, it will teach you how to handle those moments. Mm-hmm. Because you will hear the stories of what women have been through. But it's not what they wear on their face every day because they've healed from it. Healing involves managing triggers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that it's an ending point, it's cut off, and it's gone. You no longer deal with it at all. Mm-hmm. These are traumatic circumstances that we've been through. And managing, whether it's a grief, whether it's sexual abuse, whether it's, your husband terrorized a small city. Doesn't matter.
I should not.
But I mean, hey, yeah. You don't know until you begin to dig past the surface. And unfortunately, when people first meet each other, they're dealing with their representative.
Mm-hmm. You do mention, it's not just limited for girls. Men can come on the show too. Mm-hmm. So do a little, for a guy that's thinking about coming to your show but not exactly sure, what can you say to them that,
Why would a man have reservations about being on That Anita Live? Why? What would the reservation be?
Well, for me, I just don't do TV.
I tell you what, men are very competitive. Generally speaking, again, men are very competitive, right? So all the men within the sound of my voice, if you ever hear this broadcast or this radio program, I dare you to come on That Anita Live and speak your truth. Speak your feelings. Speak your feelings about whether or not you get to see your children. Mm-hmm. Speak your truth about whether or not you feel as if you got a fair shake in the divorce. Mm-hmm. Speak your truth about whether or not you feel as if the women say it's a man's world, mm-hmm. but men are now saying women are taking center stage and they feel as if they're being pushed back. Mm-hmm. Speak your truth because I know a number of men whom see themselves as traditionalists, and they're looking for a wife. Now, some of them looking for a second or a third wife, but they're looking for a wife that is going to be the homemaker. Mm-hmm. And that is not what the women of the new millennium are about. Women about the new millennium, they have goals and dreams, and they're out there pursuing them.
Yeah. Well, so, what's like the change, you know, you mentioned the change in like the woman's role, basically, you know, mm-hmm. back in the day, women had, there's the traditional way, you know, women stayed home with the kids and da 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 da. But now there's a change where women just have as, you know, as competitive a career. I don't know what the right word is, but they have like careers just mm-hmm. as, you know, as men do. What does that change bring to the family, you know, structure?
It depends on the dynamics of the family, because if my grandfather used to describe it in this way, mm-hmm. okay, because he would try to give each of his grandchildren individual advice, mm-hmm. because we all had different personalities. And, of course, grandparents have lived long enough that they can see the dreams that you have in your eyes from when you are a small child. And he would say that there is the oxen and there's the wagon. Mm-hmm. And a wagon should never be hooked to another wagon, because they're not going to go anywhere or do anything. Mm-hmm. The oxen pull the wagon and they're side by side. Mm-hmm. So if you're a person that is very strong-willed, if you're a person that is very outgoing, and you're looking for a mate that is going to be the wagon, know that. Mm-hmm. If you're a wagon and you're looking for somebody else to pull the wagon, mm-hmm. and you want to be the stay-at-home person, mm-hmm. know that, so that when you're out interacting with others, you pick appropriately.
Hmm. So, that's interesting. So there can't be like two wagons or two ox.
What? Two wagons and y'all gonna do what? Rust in the rain. There's nothing going to happen with that wagon. And if you have two oxen, now, are those oxen pulling the same wagon in the same direction? Or are they so headstrong that mm-hmm. each one expects the other to be the background to their foreground?
Because, mm-hmm. you know, I see, you know, like some families where, you know, like the husband is, you know, this, you know, high executive for like this Fortune 500 company. And then the wife is, you know, another, you know, like she's pretty high up in another, you know, Fortune 500 companies. So how does that happen? Because, you know, in that situation, that's what, two oxen.
Yeah.
So how do you get the balance for that?
What is that?
Because I think, and you know, and the reason I kind of bring this up, mm-hmm. I think, yeah, you know, we, of course, we hear a lot about, like, you know, divorce, you know, being up.
70%? Almost, yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, the balance, that's not really a balance. And it's hard to find that balance. So how do you, and, you know, everybody wants to be an ox in this day.
Self-awareness. You have to know what your balance is. You have to know every individually, we have to know what our balances are. Mm-hmm. And then when we are interacting with other people, you know who to hook to and who not to hook to. Mm-hmm. Because, for instance, I know a couple that is actually a bi-coastal couple, and where he lives in Atlanta and she lives in L.A. They're fine living those lives. They're both oxen. They're both very strong-willed and driven in their individual career activities. Mm-hmm. And they compartmentalize their lives. When they're in their separate cities, they get to give 110% to their goals and dreams, because they have nothing else that they have to worry about. They don't have to worry about making sure that they make time for the spouse that afternoon or that or the next day, or attending a gala, being on the same calendar. They know that then when they carve out time to spend together, then that's that individual all eyes on you type mm-hmm. of time that they're going to spend together.
Mm-hmm. That is, that's a really like complex like median to find, I think. What about like wagons too? Because you know, that means like that family is just going nowhere fast. Unless you just prop them on a hill and let them roll down.
No. I mean, two wagons. Mm-hmm. What are those two wagons going to do?
Just sit there.
Now, if that's your balance, mm-hmm. and that's, you're a couch potato when you're looking for another couch potato, mm-hmm. how you all are going to eat, I have no idea. but hey, mm-hmm. If self-awareness is the key. Everybody mm-hmm. needs to know what their balance is and what works for them.
Yeah. All right. As we wrap up here, what drives you? Like, what keeps you going?
individually or for the show, because for me they're different. And what drives me is knowing that the good that I put out is ripping and sending ripples and waves into the world. That is going to change it back. Mm-hmm. That's going to change it to bring morality, care for your fellow man, fellow woman, mm-hmm. back to our daily lives.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Your information again, the website for the show.
My website is thatanitalive.com, and on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, my handle is thatanitalive.
All right. Thanks so much. And I look forward to coming on your show as well, too. And thank you all for listening today, and we'll catch you again next week. Yeah. 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 If I can't do it, homie, it can't be done. Now I'ma let the champagne bottle pop. I'ma take it to the top. Show, I'ma make it hot, baby, baby. I pop, press the stunt and I pop. Still bumps. I'm sure that I got it. I'll be the pipe and pick peppers and run rock rhymes. I'm 50 cent, I write. Cause I got mine. When I'm around, quit playing. You can't shine. Woo! You gon' be that next chump. Then end up in the trunk at the beat. Is that what you want? Be easy. Now, believe me. That's what I'm about. Gangster. You can find a nigga sitting on throne. Hit the clutch, hit the gear, hit the gas, and I'm gone. Yeah. If I can't do it, homie, it can't be done. Now I'ma let the champagne bottle pop. I'ma take it to the top. Show, I'ma make it hot, baby, baby. I'm down for the action. He's smart with his mouth to smack. Woo! You hold this, you might come back. So react like a gangster, die like a gangster for acting. Cause you get hit and homicide to be asking what happened. Oh, no. Look who prepping with the 20-inch rim sitting on low, bro. Uh-huh. East side, west side. Something really wrong with my brain. Don't rob me, they know I'm down and down with my chain. G-Unit, yeah. We get it popping in the hood. G-Unit, yeah. What's good, I'm waiting on to act like they don't know how to act. I have to sip it too much Jack. I'm thinking it's all rap. To that, and Doc says it's a rap. It's a rap. If I can't do it, homie, it can't be done. Now I'ma let the champagne bottle pop. I'ma take it to the top. Show, I'ma make it hot, baby. Baby. I ain't been how to teach lessons to slow learners. Go ahead and act up, get smacked in the head with the I don't fight fair, I'm dirty, dirty. I'm from Southside Jamaica, Queen. You heard me? Yeah. When the street lights come on, uh-huh. Get locked up, to read books to pass the time. Woo! And the game is ups and downs, so I stay on their grind. All of my b****s stay on their mind. There ain't nothing they can do to stop my shine. This is God's plan, homie. This ain't mine. I bet the music lies. Grandpa called me a nuisance. And grandma always gotta throw her 2 cents. I'm the dropout. I made more money than these teachers. Ruthless like the coupe, but I come with more features. I am what I am. You can like it or love it. It feels good to put 50 grand and think nothing of it. If I can't do it, homie, it can't be done. Now I'ma let the champagne bottle pop. I'ma take it to the top. Show, I'ma make it hot, baby, baby. If I can't do it, homie, it can't be done. Now I'ma let the champagne bottle pop. I'ma take it to the top. Show, I'ma make it hot, baby, baby. Uh-huh. I'ma make it hot. Dr. Dre, Aftermath, Shady.